Have you ever thought of recording your own podcast? Well, now with Anchor, you can go ahead and create your podcast for free with Anchor. And the most easiest way to do it, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right on your phone or computer. Best of all, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hello guys. Before we get on to today's episode, I wanted to talk a bit about Virtual Shield. Virtual Shield is one of the best VPN services to protect your privacy wherever you're in your desktop, laptop, or your mobile phone, traveling abroad, somewhere in the world. Here in the digital world, we are always never aware what will happen to us in our data getting exposed out in the real world. But with Virtual Shield, you are always in good hands. The Virtual Shield has been a gift of good and has been a lifesaver whenever I've been traveling around domestically or even internationally. And it's always going to be in good hands whenever you are inside of a hotel, airport, or a coffee shop, for instance. And whenever you are in a open hotspot out like that, you will always going to be at risk of hackers and people that will be snooping on your devices. Please, never go out without privacy and security again, period. Virtual Shield is available on all major platforms and operating systems. For instance, Windows, Apple, Macs, and if you're traveling on the go on your mobile phone, for instance, if you have an iPhone or an Android on the go, Virtual Shield has an app for that too. Virtual Shield has you covered. What are you waiting for right now too? Now is a good time to get it. And whenever you are traveling, this will be a lifesaver for you for many, many days to come. Virtual Shield affiliate link down in the description below. Hello, thanks for listening to episode 98 of Leon the Great Podcast. Very, very close to episode 100. So we're coming up very close to episode 100, and I'm going to be taking a couple days off from doing podcasts because I'm going to be working on sounds and brushing up my editing for upcoming episode 100 coming up pretty soon. So that's what we've got going on here, and I hope you guys are having a good start of the week. While this episode was recorded earlier in the day, I definitely want to let you guys know that I definitely care for all my listeners coming in, and which for me the podcast is still going and still up afloat, but we're definitely working on getting more episodes up. And also this coming week I will be working on newsletters. So I've only had one newsletter from someone, some rando out on the internet, but I'm gonna get my butt in gear into working on newsletters as soon as I can, because it's a challenge having to work so many things all at once, having to go through stories, going through writing on opinions, and then look up facts on each and every story, which is quite of a challenge every single week. So this episode I decided to go on and do a episode very different than the previous episode talking about space. Now this is mostly about technology, for instance. Now space I wanted to jump on to that for some time, since now while everyone was got distracted, I figured about the COVID-19 situation, I figured it was best to talk about asteroids, which this is going to be a great episode. So sit down, stay in, and have fun. Leon signing out. Enjoy. Before I get into today's show and episode, I want to go ahead and just tell you a little bit something that I've been using for some time now. And this browser I've used is called Brave, B-R-A-V-E, brave.com. So brave.com I've used for 2 years now. I love it. Works fantastic. And what's unique about this browser is that it blocks unnecessary advertisements and trackers whenever you are browsing to any big sites that you're going off and about looking in. And it's great because it just shields you from all the unnecessary things that it's tracking right behind your background, and including websites like Google, which does this on a daily basis. And that's something that I don't want any advertisements or trackers coming up to me and ads popping up, because that's one thing. When I was growing up, I grew up with annoying advertisements and trackers that will track every single my move. And the fact is that big companies continue to still use that as of today. I recommend Brave, and I will have the link down in the description below if you're interested in downloading the browser yourself and checking this out, because this is wonderful. Even I've found out that Mozilla has now become just a corporate browser itself, and which was something that it was everyone's favorite browser until they announced that they are going to start tracking people's data on the background, which pretty much is very unconstitutional for a company to drop their principles down on the ground. But I, however, just want to go in, mention this real quick, just to let you know that Brave is an awesome browser. Check it out. What are you waiting for? Brave.com. Okay, so to begin the show today, I've haven't got around to posting any other podcast episodes. So for one, I've just to tell you a brief story about my weekend. So my weekend was actually pretty good. And compared how silent it was, and we didn't do too much, except I did bike riding for the weekend. Great thing that I did for pretty much my health wise. But for me, I didn't think it was so scary to be out, to be quite honest, because just the way how the media hype things a lot. Now, I will say that, yes, I am taking this pretty seriously. I am taking precautions. I know as many people say, hey, be careful of yourself and stuff like that. And I get it. I really do get it. And people are reminding me. But I am taking seriously of the fact that this will end up going through my lungs. But as long as I'm not getting in contact with people, that is good for the most part. And this is great that at least I'm not getting into crowds, not getting myself in trouble, of course. But yeah, but I am doing okay. So for me, with everybody talking nothing but COVID-19, coronavirus, this and that, and how it's getting hit all over media outlets, tech outlets especially, and which it's actually getting a huge attraction, which this is big news. Seeing that this is nothing but spike in web pages going higher and higher. The way I'm seeing with many of the web outlets reporting on COVID-19 all over, because especially you're giving people eyes and ears to listen on the news a lot, which doesn't give a lot of people much more confidence how this is going bad day by day. And plus, in the other hand, I know we're going to get up to 300,000, which I hate to sound like a pessimistic person, but I'm not going to dodge things and make it sound all happy talk. At the end of the day, we're going to see numbers just spike up, and it's hard to keep up with cases, stories, death rates. And honestly, though, I have to say, though, I'm very, very thankful I don't live in Florida anymore. And I know one of my relatives wants to go and retire down there, but my gosh, even just seeing the people in South Florida, gosh, how idiotic and how ridiculous this is. And I don't think a lot of people understand how deadly this is. And a lot of people say, well, you know what? The flu has killed more people. That's like giving a comparison to apples and oranges when these things are very different symptoms and flus and viruses. I mean, first of all, it's not a flu. It's basically a virus. Put it this way, too. And if I have to be much more technical about it, it is a whole different thing, unlike the flu. So, and for me, I definitely wanted to go ahead and talk outside of the news, outside of Corona, because that's all we're talking about. And while people are talking about it, and while we are dealing with a lot of things happening, I know that a lot of people are quite scared, angry, frustrated that this has happened. And just to put it this way too, that I think this is no one's fault but China. I mean, if you think about it, China has been the one that's been solely responsible for all this has happened. And the fact that they lied so they can keep the interests together with the United States and keep being trade together, that's probably what it is. And now, looking at the way I am seeing it, if China did not lie, things would have been so much easier for everybody. And now, however, this is a, oh, I would say that this is Pandora's box that you cannot close back. This is something now you're gonna have to fight against this virus. Now, with so many doctors scrambling around doing testing and trials, which I think this is a whole cluster of mess right there too. And that's why it's just a very much of a cluster of mess everywhere else at this point, because even a couple days back, like now Greenland, of all places of the world's continent, Greenland is pretty much a continent filled of ice. So, and if you look at the map, that's pretty much in the Atlantic Ocean, right between the Atlantic Ocean. And that's something that's not doesn't get talked about. And now there's already a case in Greenland. And so finally there's a case in Haiti. But however, Haiti, even though as poor as a country it is, I would say that in good respect with Haiti, even though they have tons of corruption, things like that, politically, I will say that at least they got their act up together and become very proactive, to put it this way. It was something I was very happy about Haiti to do it, and which it was quite an abrupt surprise coming from a country, but at least they're not letting the rest of the population sick. And unlike the United States, they're so behind on this. I wish we did it. However, not to ramble too much on the whole story, because that's what everybody is talking about. And I think for me, just reading on the case, looking on the case, is driving me a bit nuts, even especially having to go through article after article after article. But I know in this episode, I will definitely talk about the coronavirus in one of our stories. And I mean, COVID-19 is going to be a story that's going to be talked about throughout 2020. Let me say this again. Throughout 2020, and as many people are going to expect happy talk or a vaccine along on the way, that's not going to happen this quick. I just think it's not going to happen this quick. I mean, I will agree that when will that happen? That's the question of when. And as far as I can see, is that there's always a saying that goes that we definitely have to wait and see, even like especially today. So as far as my day goes, my day was good, and the fact that I've been contacting the venue, Ticketmasters, because the fact that since we've had such a huge situations with airlines, and now there's a situation going on with Ticketmasters, I think they're not doing a good job. And thing about the whole situation is that I'm very disappointed with Ticketmaster, just to put it this way briefly, is as a ticket company, you would think they would take this precaution seriously. And I'm going around crazy trying to find a phone number for Ticketmaster. And then I could not find a phone number. Then I tried to go to their live chat. Their live chat was down. And I know that a lot of people are angry and frustrated, just like me, trying to get my tickets out there too. And especially, there was a postponed cancellation in Latin America. I would have think that they would have had the band that I was supposed to see May 12th. They would have had postponed it and for US dates as well. And I'm just thinking, what the hell? This virus is not going to go away anytime soon. And that's why I think I am quite disappointed with Ticketmasters in general, not taking the steps they want to. And I know a lot of people I've read on social media, especially on Twitter, are very, very angry with Ticketmasters. And I know that, yes, I'm sure that Ticketmasters are doing the best they can. But I think what disappoints me the most is that nobody, like I myself, can't even call Ticketmasters to say, hey, I want to see if I can get a refund. But I think the matter of the fact is that they're so overwhelmed with so many people that trying to go through their chat support system is that's why their servers are down at the moment. And I think what's strange is that they should have a phone line. A phone line already. And that makes me a little bit upset going through 2 days, but for me, that was one thing, is that after going through Ticketmasters, I've had no choice but to call the bank, just because I haven't heard anything from Ticketmasters, and that's what makes me disappointed. I can't say that I'm surprised, which I'm not. It's very disappointing to hear. There's no response with Ticketmasters, and I think a lot of things have to change. However, I will go ahead and talk a little bit something different while we're in the situation here on post-apocalyptic and pandemic situations. Now, the episode we're going to be talking about today is going to be about pretty much about space. I mean, while everybody's getting around to talking about COVID-19, which is a huge story, but I think a lot of people are pretty much going past on stories, especially on the astronaut stories coming from NASA, which is another big news. I know that this news is pretty much picking up steam a bit, but nobody's talking about it as much as I've heard from other scientists. In fact, I've caught the story on when I was doing some research here on the internet, and here I looked up on a radio station, which I don't know which one it is, radio station. But anyways, I was looking up this radio station called WGN Radio 720, which I found here on the internet, which here under headline says, could an astronaut hit Earth next month? So that's a question right there too. Now, I've checked on the interview, and on this good interview with the radio host and this guy that's this does a website, NASAspaceflight.com, really good interview. Now, as far as people's fears with this astronaut, this is not going to hit Earth. It's just going to pass Earth pretty closely. But this astronaut that's coming next week, that's not going to be the astronaut that's going to hit Earth. Thank goodness, not as of yet. But I think a lot of people I think a lot of people have forgotten the asteroid that hit Earth, where it actually did hit on Russia back in 2013, which actually I did remember the story clearly enough, where it was a situation that an asteroid actually was close to hitting Russia, but thankfully it wasn't a huge impact. Thankfully, it was not back in 2013. But and then I had to, when I listened to the interview, even the man that explained the whole thing, he actually he's a scientist that lives in South Florida. So rarely, it was a very interesting interview. Now, however, guys, I would say this is not the asteroid that'll be the one to hit Earth. Even he said that there's going to be one coming on 9 years, by 9 years or so. But if true, that probably I would say at this point, you guys better make the best of 9 years. But even he further goes through doing research how there probably going to be an asteroid within the next 200 years. That's going to be interesting. So, however, I know I won't be alive for that long to even find that out. But if that's true, just do the best as you can within the years to come. I am just saying, because who knows? Because everyone is talking about end of the world stuff, and here I am just listening to these people, and looks like we're going to be catching up with all these end of the world scenarios. But I know that the one coming up next week, the scientist says this is not it yet, thank goodness. So definitely we'll have to worry about more asteroids in the later years to come. So that's that being said. Now, even in another article was reported on space.com, which actually said the same thing, and this goes by further stating in the headlines over at space.com, which I'll have it linked down below in the description, which says giant potentially hazardous asteroid will fly safely by Earth in April. So, woo, that's pretty good. So, nothing to worry right here. So, all we have to do is just worry about the things to come right now with the flu and virus pandemic situation at this time. So, that's good news over in our own back of the woods, which is great. And I don't have to deal about any asteroid impacts anytime soon, probably within 9 years to over 100 years later. But again, who knows if we're going to be alive till then. So we're going to get on to the next story. I think this one is going to be pretty, pretty interesting. And I've actually found this article up on BGR, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see here. BGR. Yeah, so it was BGR.com. So, and even this right here, they've had a link of a story, which they've actually had this link, and this was reported by torrentfreak.com. And even this one where it says secure private bay unblocked by most UK ISPs. So secure private bay unblocked by most UK ISPs. So this is interesting here. So let me just read up on the article briefly about what's going on here too. After the Pirate Bay switched to Cloudflare's SSL service, it is no longer being blocked by most UK internet providers. Subscribers of BT, EE, Virgin, TalkTalk can reach the site without problems via the default HTTPS address. The bug also affects secure versions of other blocked sites, but not all. Woo, wow, that's very incredible to see that too. Now, as far as America is concerned, I know that it is still illegal to download songs illegally, from what I understand, because, well, the authorities will crack on anyone, and for the United States, they're very restricted what you can download. And I know that I don't know how all works with the United States and the anti-privacy laws go here that goes into effect, but I know that it is very serious violations. The highs are very high. So anyone that's going to think about doing any downloading illegally, I don't suggest any of my listeners doing any of that, because who wants to deal with that kind of nonsense? I mean, really, folks, it's just not worth it right there too. But at least I would say my further predictions on torrenting. For me, I think torrenting, it does become very convenient, and I've actually done torrenting. And if I could look back how long ago I've done any illegal downloads, I would say for me that would be all the way back, this which pretty much dates back all the way to the LimeWire years. And my gosh, I've actually had that laptops and desktops. I've had LimeWire installed back then. It was actually crazy because we've downloaded stuff off on the internet, and though it was easy to find a copy, virtually everything online, and just because how convenient things were, and plus the fact that was that it's not just because you download a movie or music just because it was just convenient, but the fact is that it was so simple to do it too. But I know that a lot of people were getting away with privacy, and my thing is I remember LimeWire was around for a very long time, until all the way till 2013, which, in to my surprise, they weren't stopped sooner. And I remember that now when the United States started to crack down on privacy, well, privacy software such as LimeWire, I know FrostWire was a huge deal. And also, I don't even know what's the state of LimeWire now, and how they are, if they're still operational. But I know that downloading movies and music illegally, it is a federal crime, so it is no joke to play around. But however, with a lot of people having access to VPNs and other sorts of bypasses, I know that it does make things a lot easier for people, instead of having to pay for media content on the web, which I was never someone that I care to pretty much download a lot of content on the internet. I wasn't that the kind of person to pretty much cared about downloading, because I figured, back then, the way I thought things back then when I was younger is that, well, why the hell do I have to pay an album all the time? Besides, I can just go ahead and go to their live shows, because a lot of these artists are making money with their live shows, which that's just the way I've seen things back then as well too. But at the end of the day, is that you're definitely choking out artists, and you're not supporting the artists. Well, that is true, which I will agree to that extent. And now, however, then again, I was a kid back then, and the fact is that me and my brother, we've downloaded so many torrents. It was so not funny. And any illegal stuff from LimeWire. Now, you can still do that today too, but you definitely have to know what you're doing, especially how things are, and even the fact that Pirate Bay has been down. They took Pirate Bay all the time, but however, no matter what you do, Pirate Bay will still continue to be floating around the internet somewhere. And the truth about it is that Pirate Bay is always going to be up all the time. And also, there are a couple of good reasons why a lot of people want to use uTorrent, especially that movies like on iTunes. Let me just, how should I put it? iTunes, Google Play. These purchases are extremely expensive, and the prices of media can go high, and plus it will definitely put a dent in your wallet. And so honestly though, like, it, if you want to make do anything as far as supporting artists, I would always go to the shows and to the concerts whenever I can, because that's how I would support the artists too. And the one thing I will say is that I've always done streaming music illegally, and I would say though, I did it, and to me, there's times that I will only support artists only if there's an artist that I would give a damn about, but the other rest I would say the hell with them, because if I don't think they're worth supporting, I would just go through downloading it another way of downloading, instead of going through iTunes, Google Play, or other source of mediums to download your stuff without having to purchase them. In fact, the uTorrent is a very simple software. Of course, you have to make sure that people are downloading peer by peer, and make sure that it is available and the content is available as well too. So just gotta remember. Now, I don't know how to use uTorrent a lot, so I will say that still a newbie on it, because I don't necessarily put the time to put on uTorrents. So that's me, and I would love to get around to it when I get more time, but with the COVID-19 situation floating around, I know that I will have a lot more time putting the time onto uTorrents, things like that too. Though I don't want to try to abuse it and not support the artists. There's times I would go and support the artists as much as I can, and that as well too. If it's artists, authors, game developers, yes. I mean, I would try to support as much as I can too. But if there was a reason for me to pirate, I will do that too. And that's one, of course. For me, I can't stand the days having to start paying for software and streaming services. I mean, that's just one thing. Like, you pay for software, and you don't know if you're going to continue to use a software again. That's just facts, of course. But yeah, that's the main story on the torrent, torrentfreak.com. So I'll put the rest of the story right on the description below, so anybody can read it. And let's go on with the next story I have here, which is a report on BGR, which in this article, which I actually found funny the other day, the story behind GameStop now was that they continue to still be open even during a COVID virus or the virus situation. And this was pretty bad, because a lot of people were upset that GameStop were still gonna open up to the public. And a lot of people just gave GameStop, hey, listen, what are you doing? You know, why are you gonna continue to open your stores to the rest of the public while this pandemic is ongoing? And a lot of people did not like it, and they listened to the customers and just took it, and took their comments to consideration. And I've heard this the other day, and I was like, wow, this is pretty bad for a company, leaving their doors open. Which now from today, I look up BGR, and then here I read this headline. I thought it was so funny, which states now it is now officially confirmed GameStop is now closing all U.S. stores after trying to claim they're too essential to close. Honestly, this was something they should have had done already. I think it's the whole thing with this company. I think as a company, they should have said, okay, enough is enough. We've got to close it. And I thought it was so laughable that they were going to continue to open the store while everything is on lockdown. And to me, nobody is going to go buy a physical title while we are in a tight situation with everything else going on in the world. And the way I can see it is that we've already have Steam. We already have GOG. At this point, why do we have to go to physical retail and buy copy games, which doesn't make sense for me at this time anymore to do it? Because I've said this before, is that there are guys out there that are going to start downloading games instead of purchasing physical copies. This is how they should have done this from the very beginning, when I think it was very ignorant to do it. But now, after all the complaints they've gotten from customers, they finally listened, and they should have done the right thing from the very, very beginning, personally. So, and kind of funny how things turn itself around, actually. So, good on GameStop for doing the right thing and closing their stores, because my worry is the workers right there, because what happens if they get sick? And actually, I've gone through GameStop plenty of times. I see a lot of kids with their parents. They carry a bunch of nasty germs. So it was, I have to say, it wouldn't be cool for any of the workers to get sick. No, not at all. Personally, not the great thing I wanted to see from any of these workers. And then they get sick, and who knows what they'll be catching from everything else going on. Now, while I'm at it right there, I want to just go ahead and let everybody know, and all of my listeners that is listening to me today, I know that I'm not going to try to push too many stories to talk about too, because I know there's a lot going on right now, and definitely how everything has come up to. So just to keep the episode short and sweet, and which I'm trying to make it as short and sweet as much as I can, not to continue rambling around. Now, the one thing I'll say is that I'll be talking about my last story coming up with this next article, which this came up to mind while I was working on the podcast for today, and which is about sleep science, which is a very interesting article by National Geographic magazine, which actually I heard about this back a few days ago, but which I'm going to start talking about pretty soon. But first is first, I want to definitely mention is that I didn't mention this on the introduction. Now, I did my very first YouTube video in a long time, which normally I don't ever do any YouTube videos, but I think for me, it was necessary to get a video out because of what's going on. And I know my friend from the UK was having pretty much an anxiety trying to deal with this too. And I think it's not just that, but however, everybody is dealing with the COVID-19 situation, which I know that it is not easy for everybody. You definitely have families are pretty much staying home. I have very much have people I know internationally are dealing with this as well, and so it's all over the place. I have families that are trying to deal with it as best as they can, and trying to make sure that they're not getting sick. So that's one thing I'm pretty much concerned myself as well, which on the channel I'll have the link down in the description below. I know that you guys will have your own personal five top things to keep your sanity afloat, because I know with times like that, like, a lot of people don't know what to do with themselves, and the fact that having to be isolated in your own homes, and perfectly honest though, I don't blame anyone, because the thing is though, you can't really stay at home all the time, and you definitely have to go out, go for a brief walk if you can, make sure you get up, get some exercise, and do that, and that's just the way to go. And for me, today was not the best day to be going for a walk because it's spring. You got all the pollen going everywhere, especially in cars. And I actually did see pollen in my exercise machine out in the backyard and including my bike. Not the best. Today is not the best day for riding, of course. But however, I've mentioned in the video, if you are scared to go outside and or just gonna think you're gonna catch the virus with this muggy weather, by all means, if you don't want to get yourself sick, just cover yourself with a winter scarf or with a face mask. And that's what I've mentioned in the video too. And of course, there's one face mask I did mention on the YouTube video, so you guys can check that out, and I'll have it linked down below, so you can read up to it, and or actually, excuse me, watch up on the video, and also you can pretty much purchase the face mask, but you don't have to get my suggestion too. By the way, safishing.com. I'm not sponsored by them, so by all means, if you like the mask, you can go and pick it up, because I did purchase five pieces of mask last year. Fits well, and I love the custom designs on it too, so it's worked perfectly. So anyways, I wanted to definitely get into the commentary of the topic of sleep. Now, I will say that we're having a sleep crisis, but however, the fact is that it now suggests not also adults using computer screens all the time too, but the sleep epidemic is a pretty much a huge topic. I think a lot of people don't talk about sleep that much, because it is a very important thing to get to know about sleep, because sleep is pretty much and very important for the health system, and important to get your energy flowing each and every day. You know, a lot of people don't talk about it. And what caught my eye into this when I was waiting in the waiting room in physical therapy, when my mom had physical therapy last year at the time, and I was checking out this article, and this actually came through. This just came to me when I was waiting, reading this on here too. One of the thing I would say about this very interesting topic and the whole article of NationalGeographic.com, it is fairly interesting. I will actually link the story down below. It is very, very long. I won't go through it throughout the whole recording because it is super long. But you guys can read it yourself. And one thing I noticed is that you've got a lot of young people are using iPads and devices, and you got a lot of young parents are letting them use it, and really they don't really give a crap, and they give those devices so that way they can keep the kid calm and they can do all that, right? And so that way they can keep the parents in peace. Now, here's one thing I'll say behind all that too. While the iPad does have benefits for people working and all, I think it's great for using for educational wise. Here's my problem with the whole thing is that I don't think a child less than 6 years old really needs an iPad. I really don't think so. And that's where I have to criticize families for this. And maybe here's what I'll say is that people will not like this. But hey, when I was younger, I didn't grow up with iPads, iPhones, iPods. And you know what? I've had lived amongst working class parents that couldn't afford everything because, you know, they have to stay afloat. And I look at the kids today and here are people say that I'm spoiled, but that's not true. I mean, sure, I've had little devices and all, but not the high-tech ones that we are seeing today, especially the multimedia ones that comes with video, music, books that you can read digitally. and all that stuff all at once. And that was back then when I was using it in the late 90s was nothing compared to today. Nothing at all. And the fact that we didn't have all these Apple devices, Android devices from LG, Huawei, and all these manufacturers is nothing. Back then was nothing like today. Nothing. And I remember my first device, I was using a simple flip phone that all of its purpose was nothing but, let me guess, calls and text messages. Back when I first owned my first cell phone back then too. And that was not really all that fancy at all too. And that was given to me as a present from my mom, only because that was the only thing that was there for too. And I remember back then is that you couldn't even make a call, pretty much a call from one state to the next, because if you were calling long distance from one state over the next, you couldn't really do that at all, really. I mean, that's just the truth. And then now today, state by state, long distance calls are not the thing anymore. So a lot of things have changed. And then with Sleep Science article, you've had this article how it talks about things they were comparing with artificial light, which is the blue lights, and then the natural light, which is from the sunlight. And so, and the thing about with devices like that, and I would say is that, yes, I did use monitors when I was younger, and I will admit, I did use it too. And then again, when I was using, I remember when I was younger, I remember using computer monitors, and I remember going sleeping later than I did, of course. But that was the thing back then, is that there was no parental restrictions back then, and a lot of parents, like especially my parents, didn't give a 2 cents about it too, because they weren't for parental software technologies and doing all that too, because they didn't know nothing about computers. And then that's where I think things like this in this article does talk about how people in general are not getting enough sleep because of devices. And I think those devices should be used very, very responsibly. And so that's how I see it with many younger kids today too. And the fact that they're going to be in a point of time is that they're going to have eye strain, and plus possibly having a hard time seeing in a distance. And that's where I see the sleep pandemic is going to be. And sure, I'm sure there's parents listening to this podcast, and probably they might not like what I say. And I know that for the fact that people are not going to like what to hear on this one right here too. But I think, young kids shouldn't really start with multimedia devices. I think it is definitely way too young. And sure, a lot of young kids are going to start calling me boomer because I'm so out of touch, yada, yada, yada. But however, I'm going to say it as it is. And I think that a lot of young kids are pretty much hurting themselves and not letting their eye growth for long term. In fact, this reminded me of a story I was hearing years ago. In fact, 2013, 2014. And in fact, there was a console that was saying the same thing, where the 3D console, a Nintendo 3DS, was giving young kids headaches. And that's where I was seeing these things with a lot of the younger kids. And so Nintendo looked back and said, okay, we're going to make a system for younger kids that's under the age of 6. Under age of 6 or age of 7. Because there is a point where the eyes continue to develop even to a certain age. So yeah, so there's a point that even while you're in the infancy and toddler stages, your eyes are still developing through that age as well too. So Nintendo addressed the issue, so they went then decided to create a 2DS version, which a lot of people didn't care too much on it. But the reason behind the system in the first place was because there were still younger kids that were developing headaches because of the 3D feature, which I think it's good that they decided to go for that route too. I mean, why not? I wouldn't mind having that just a 2D on that too, which I said, hey, why not? I would love it. And because the fact I would use a 2D version over a 3D platform. Then again, that's just me too. In fact, I always like to hear people's perspective and different sides of people's story. How about you, listener? Do you think I'm wrong on this? Do you think, this is too much fearful of me to say that? And besides, if you think so, let me know that over at the voice messages over on Anchor, or leave your comments over at Breaker.audio, and let me know, man, because a lot of things are happening, and especially there's a lot of irresponsible parents. And I'm just going to give one for example. Like, for instance, my experience, I never even go down to talking to other people, but I'm not going to mention names, of course, but my experience over at a Thanksgiving dinner, that was last year. My experience with last year, and I remember this clearly, is you definitely have kids, just yelling, making a mess, all that stuff, you know, and the parents have no control over anything. In fact, you've actually have one of the younger girls just going out of control, just doing her thing, and just causing a little bit of havoc, and just giving the parents much, much grief. that's how I see it right there. It's just very much incredible how it is. And gosh, the parents of today, honestly though, I would never give a child a device in such a young age, while you definitely have the eyes on the child still developing at such a young age, which I know they fully develop the vision until they're like 7 or 8 years old, during that period of time too, which I understand that during a certain age, there's going to be vision losses, of course, when you're growing up, and the fact that you'll have to have glasses. And I know that many kids do not get to wear glasses. Of course, I know that vision loss does come to an age by the time you do get older, but I do see kids that can still see it through their teenage years, and they don't need to have any glasses at all too. But still, it's definitely troublesome to hear what's going on. But anyways, that's up to you. Love to hear your thoughts on it too. And you can leave your voice message over at anchor.fm/LeonLaGray for your messages and thoughts. Also, you have to make sure that you keep your messages under a minute, because I know Anchor doesn't let you put your messages over a minute, what I understand as well too. So that's that for the Leon the Great podcast, and thanks for everybody that's listening. If you like what you've heard, let me know that on, like I mentioned, the comments over below, so that way your messages can be, probably, who knows, it can be heard by the next episode, and I'll comment further from it here as well. Anyways, this is Leon LeGray. Thank you so much for listening. Take care and ciao.